Today in Science from Wired.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
The world's first malaria vaccine program for children starts now. On Monday, Cameroon became the first nation to establish routine childhood malaria immunizations. The race is on to give protection to as many people as possible. By David Cox. Malaria expert Brian Greenwood had once resigned himself to the possibility that a successful vaccine for the disease might not become available in his lifetime. Now, at 86 years old, the moment he spent 4 years working toward has arrived. "It's been a long journey with many ups and downs," says Greenwood, still an active researcher at the Royal Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene, leading vaccine trials across Africa. The first attempts to develop a malaria vaccine through studies in birds were done over 100 years ago. Beginning today, Cameroon, a Central African nation which experiences 2.7 million cases of malaria each year, will start rolling out routine childhood immunizations using a vaccine called RTSS, or Mosquirix, made by the pharma company GlaxoSmithKline. The vaccine targets sporozoites, the transmissible forms of the malaria parasite, and neutralizes them before they can enter the liver and multiply in their thousands. With 48% of all hospital admissions and 67% of childhood deaths in Cameroon linked to malaria, the hope is that the new rollout will help relieve the considerable burden the disease places on the country's healthcare system. Despite efforts to eradicate mosquitoes carrying the Plasmodium falciparum parasite, the deadliest source of malaria on the African continent, and the use of protective nets and coating the walls of houses with insecticides, malaria still killed 608,000 people in 2022. 95% of the fatalities were in Africa. Young children, whose immune systems are still developing, are by far the most vulnerable. According to the charity UNICEF, a child under 5 dies of malaria nearly every minute. The rollout is expected to expand swiftly. 12 African countries will receive a combined total of 18 million doses of RTSS over the next 2 years through Gavi, the vaccine alliance that ensures immunization access in some of the world's poorest nations. Cameroon will receive 662,000 doses in 2024, with Burkina Faso, Sierra Leone, Benin, and others set to follow. All the vaccines so far are earmarked for children due to availability constraints. "We have more than 30 African countries today who have expressed interest in a routine malaria vaccination program," says Aurelia Nguyen, chief program officer at Gavi. The vaccine will undoubtedly save lives. In October, the World Health Organization announced that a previous pilot rollout of RTSS in hundreds of thousands of children across Ghana, Kenya, and Malawi over 4 years had reduced deaths by 13% and severe cases by 22%. But a perceived lack of urgency has already received criticism. The efficacy of RTSS was first demonstrated in clinical trials as far back as 1998, yet the WHO did not officially recommend its use until 2021. More than 18 million people, mainly children, are thought to have died of the disease since those initial trials. There is also the question of how many children living in high-risk areas will actually receive the new vaccine. While GSK committed to producing up to 15 million doses of RTSS per year through 2028, following the start of the WHO-backed pilot program in 2019, this will only be sufficient to benefit a small fraction of those who need them. With approximately 200 million school-aged children at risk of the disease throughout Africa, experts say that difficult decisions have been made about which countries and regions should be initially prioritized. An estimated 100 million vaccine doses every year will be needed by 2030 in order to control malaria in areas where the prevalence is highest. A second malaria vaccine, called R21, developed by scientists at the University of Oxford, may help make up the shortfall. The WHO added R21 to a list of pre-qualified vaccines last month, following studies which showed it reduced symptomatic cases of malaria by 75% in the 12 months following a three-dose series. At a cost of $2 and $4 per dose, it's approximately half the price of RTSS, and the production capacity is far greater. This is due to a partnership which has been struck between the Oxford scientists and the Serum Institute of India, the world's largest vaccine manufacturer. They produce half of all vaccines in the world, and they can rapidly increase their production rate, says Greenwood. GSK has done all the groundwork with RTSS, which R21 has benefited from. But the Serum Institute have said they could produce over 100 million doses a year fairly quickly. According to Nguyen, R21 will start to become available in early May or June 2024. Numerous logistical hurdles lie ahead, including the notorious cold chain, the strict refrigeration requirements of vaccines that inhibit how easily they can be transported to remote regions and stored. Even if all the vaccines were there, you couldn't just suddenly say, well, we'll vaccinate the whole of Ghana straight away, because you need enough cold storage, staff, and so on, says Greenwood. Another challenge will be the number of required doses for each patient. WHO guidelines state that both RTSS and R21 should be administered in a schedule of 4 doses in children from around 5 months of age, with an additional 5th booster dose to be given a year later. For me, that's one of the biggest concerns, says Rahman. In the trials, they had very good coverage, but there were people closely documenting it, and I don't think that's going to happen in a real-life setting. Another open question is the long-term durability of both jabs. Greenwood says that, ideally, all children living in high-risk areas would be boosted on an annual basis until the age of 10. While the WHO reports both RTSS and R21 as being 75% efficient at preventing clinical malaria when given seasonally alongside antimalarial tablets, previous trials have illustrated how quickly immunity can wane over time. A study published in 2015 showed that RTSS only had 36.3% efficacy on average of 4 years after toddlers were vaccinated. Plasmodium falciparum is also only one of 5 different parasite species which cause malaria. The vaccine campaign may cause it to evolve in a similar manner to many viruses, or another malaria parasite may become dominant in Africa. However, the biggest challenge of all is funding. Rahman is concerned about the current over-reliance on foreign donors such as Gavi and UNICEF to provide vaccine supplies. A lot of malaria control programs across Africa depend largely on donor funding, she says. But there needs to be more domestic funding. Donors are never going to be around forever, and they do change priorities, which has huge consequences for disease control programs. Efforts are already underway to address this by at least shifting some of the burden of vaccine production to Africa. Abdulaziz says that Africa CDC is working on improving manufacturing facilities across the continent, while the Serum Institute is reportedly in discussions with manufacturers in Nigeria and Ghana to discuss a tech transfer which would enable R21 to be produced in those countries. It may not be long before other malaria vaccines start to become available, with BioNTech initiating a program to develop a mRNA vaccine for the disease, and malaria-based biotech Sanaria also developing a jab. Greenwood is hopeful that further progress will yield cheap vaccines that require fewer doses and remain efficacious for longer, enabling vaccination coverage to be widened and possibly even expanded to other parts of the world. Thanks for listening to Wired. My name is Zeke Robison, and for more stories like this one, visit us at wired.com.
Like what you learned? Subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts and get more science news at wired.com/science.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.